You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul, it's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, Jennifer.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. John didn't even respond to the email. I'm really worried. Now I think maybe I offended him somehow. I don't know. Do you think I offended John?
I don't know.
I don't think I did even defend him, but I should email.
I think he's just short time and he's blowing everyone off.
Yeah, I think so too.
That sounded nice.
Yeah. So, it's tanning weather. We've got about 5 weeks of tanning weather before we hit the rainy season, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think you're being optimistic that we've got 5 weeks of where it's warm enough to want to tan while not being like burst into flames when you walk outside.
That's true.
Only doused by the high humidity.
That's true. Although, you know, our holiday, Thursday.
Awesome.
We got a nice dump in the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, God.
Friday, most beautiful weather that has ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
And Thursday, our day off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucked.
It works like
but
that.
It was a day off, so it couldn't suck too bad.
But I have determined that actually, given the choice between having Friday off or Thursday off, I think I like the Thursday idea better.
Oh, because Friday, then you just don't do anything.
Exactly.
So it's sort of like a four-day weekend.
Exactly. So it's like a Friday, it's like, it's Friday. You always have the consolation of Friday. And then Wednesday is the consolation of Friday.
Yeah. Well, Wednesday makes it feel like it's a whole other weekend. And then you just have like two-day weeks. I love that. I love Wednesdays off.
Yeah. So
really, I just love any working day off. I'll just say it that way.
Exactly. Okay. Sure. We'll take it. We got another day off June 6th.
Yeah. June 6th.
Yeah. Six. Yeah.
What day is that?
One of those.
This one is Buddha's birthday. And I found that one out by the hardest. One of my students informed me it was Jesus' birthday.
Right. Yes. Jesus' birthday, but not. It ended up being Buddha's birthday. Yeah. Is that a lunar calendar one where it sort of switches, or is it always the same?
It's pretty much. I think it's always June 6th.
Okay. No. May. The Buddha's birthday.
Oh, that one must be a Buddha's. That must. Blah, 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 blah. I can speak Englishy. That one I do believe is a lunar calendar one. Although I'm not.
It would
gonna
make
stake
sense.
My life
it would make sense if it's a lunar calendar one. Yeah. It's like half the holidays here are kind of like Easter. You just never know where it's going to fall. In America, Louisiana, you got Good Friday.
Mardi Gras.
Yes, okay.
Mardi Gras and Good Friday.
Really? Mardi Gras. But you don't say gras. You say grass.
Well, we say gras, so there you go.
Yeah. Actually, that's one of those French words. You do pronounce the final consonant.
Not grass. Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sure that any Frenchman would probably drive nails into his eardrums if he ever heard Cajun being spoken.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're Canadians, right? The Cajuns?
Cajuns, 300 years ago, they came from Canada. And since then, it has been very extremely bastardized from Canadian French.
Yeah.
And since I think Frenchmen probably think that Canadian French is like fingernails on a blackboard.
But the point is, we ran them Acadians out of Canada.
Yeah.
And then like 300 years later, 200 years later, you know, Zydeco, they're suddenly, they were in for a while, and then Canadians were like, there are people. There are
Oh,
people.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So typical.
Yeah, basically. So, all right.
We exiled them, but, you know, it was just for their own good.
Yeah.
So that their crazy music could prosper.
And they're cooking.
Yeah.
Paul Perdome, isn't he a... Paul Prudhomme, was he the Cajun chef, celebrity chef?
Yes, he is.
All right. I remember in Seattle there was a Paul Prudhomme restaurant.
Yeah, they have quite a few in Louisiana.
Yeah, and then they had like little grocery store soups you could buy. Oh, everything terribly overpriced and whatever.
But very tasty.
Yeah.
Tasty because of that extra stick of butter just for the love.
But I guess being from Louisiana, there must have been that time when you were, like, people would just go up to you and go, guarantee.
Yes.
Yeah, do that sort of little.
And Justin Wilson is actually not Cajun. He was the cook that did the I guarantee, and actually he's not Cajun.
Oh.
It was just sort of his gimmick.
All right. I guess we should get ready to our snack of the week. We're doing the crazy beverages. We have two beverages. One is could be highly offensive, and the other one is...
Ceylon tea's pretty good.
Oh, you're from the South. From the South.
Yeah.
So kind of an iced tea.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So we have the one I thought maybe was offensive is the Bacchus. Bacchus D.
Cigarette and a drink.
Yeah. It's, I don't even know how to describe it. It's a thick, syrupy cough syrup.
Yeah, cough syrup consistency, ashtray taste.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with a hint of lemon and create and sort of drink it as if it's like medicinal, kind of.
Yeah, it's considered like a hangover
cure.
Remedy.
Yeah.
Yes. You stayed out drinking until 6 and had to be at work at 6:30, then you have a Bacchus D for breakfast.
Yes. Those with keen eyes for street trash will notice that, like, a lot of times, like, Sunday mornings, these little bottles just litter the streets everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Bacchus D. Let's see. So, Jennifer... you have the tea.
Thank you. Because I'm just going to add it. Yes, I am in Starbucks drinking iced tea. I am from the South, ladies and gentlemen.
Right, okay.
So I'll just add it to my tea.
Oh, but this is we should, I shouldn't ask it. Ceylon tea.
Yeah.
Lotte. And it says the dream of tea. Ceylon tea, now dream of tea, is distilled each pure drop a tear of joy. A vision of paradise for men, but not women. Sorry, sorry. You take the damn Bacchus. Can't you read this as a paradise for men?
Apparently.
Lost in their dreams. Sailing the Indian Ocean towards new horizons. Ceylon tea. Can you, do you know
and what? It says red tea in Korean, but actually it's just your regular black tea or orange pekoe, whatever you want to call it.
Do you know what that at all means? All the coffee on the...
It is their translation of the English, or probably the Korean's the original, and they translated it into English. But the thing that stands out to me is that it does say the red tea's dream.
And I'm enjoying the Bacchus D. It comes in two variations, Bacchus D and C. What's the other one?
I think there's an F.
Oh Jesus!
I'm not a connoisseur of the Bacchus. Although, it, you know, like, you go to the pharmacy and they're like, service.
Yeah.
Like, which I can only take to mean you look like you could use a nicotine caffeinated beverage.
Is there nicotine in that crap?
Yes, there is.
That's I usually won't touch it because a lot of times they, like, bring it in at work, you know, and they give it out at work. And I'm always like, thank you. And then I just put it in my backpack and then put it up. I hide it in my... Not my counter, but my.
No, leave it on your desk. A kid will steal it.
No. Yeah, get the kids home. Tobacco.
That's what I always do. If there's like some nasty snack that a kid gives me as a treat, I just leave it on my desk, and within a couple of hours, it's disappeared.
But the cabinet. There's a little crawl space almost between the cabinet and the ceiling, and they just shove it there. And they must have had like 20 of them. But, you know, maybe if there was a war or something,
if you needed your...
It was there.
Yeah, if you needed it.
It'd be currency in this country, I think, at that
right.
point.
This is actually, it's pretty good. It tastes, although since I've just had, like, the regular unsweetened tea, it tastes really sweet and artificial lemony. But you know what? That's okay. Yeah. I like my artificial lemon.
Ceylon tea. And it comes in this attractive red can.
Because it's red tea.
Yeah, the little ship.
Yeah, it's got the ship, I think, to evoke the memories of when it was a colony.
Of
British Empire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when it was a Korean colony. Back when Korea was a superpower.
Did they ever have any colonies?
I can't imagine that they did. Unless Jeju-do was at one point an independent nation.
I believe it was, actually. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's, they got their little colony. All right.
Taking over the world, one minuscule island at a time.
So, the Bacchus watch it. Try avoid drinking it unless you want to get hooked on nicotine.
Right.
Without smoking. And and the Ceylon tea, it's a fine little beverage. Not the worst.
Yeah, if you just want some regular iced tea, it's all right.
Did you notice I avoided staining myself this week?
Good job.
Any visible stains you can see?
Actually, you have a mark on your shoulder.
Oh, it's fluff from the washing machine. You know, because I just put it all darks and colors. And
excellent.
I just put it all in there together.
Man after my own heart. No, separate? What's that?
No. Hey, slow down. No, when I lived in North America, I definitely pre-sorted. I had a white basket, and I even had a red basket.
Well, reds, yeah, I can understand.
Yeah. And then I had colors, and I had a darks. And wow. But I don't have space here for that.
See, I've always had like this extreme aversion to that amount of orderliness.
Really?
Yeah, like I feel like my little rebellion. I only separate according to like the weight and of the fabric or something like. So I'll do like all cotton items.
Really?
And then all like pants and denim and you know that kind of thing, and wool. That's pretty much my sorting.
Well, I mean, there's things that you sort of put aside, you know, hand wash, but,
I have, like, one hand wash item.
Oh, really?
And I wear it once a year as a result.
Okay. Yeah, but best way, hand wash is, not here, but in North America, hand wash, I just throw it in the tub, and next time I, get in the shower, then you just hand wash it in the shower when you're taking a shower, because shampoo... Same stuff as that wool light.
Yeah, I just use baby shampoo.
Yeah, it's just cheaper than wool light. Yeah. So it's for the laundry podcast. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah.
Definitely. There you go. Your tip for the week. Yeah. Get your Johnson's baby shampoo and wash all your hand wash.
Pre-sorted in North America, but here I just don't have the floor space. I just whites in one pile and everything else in another pile. All right. Our main topic is not laundry. I got the idea for this many moons ago. You said your classroom has no windows.
Yes.
And that's the way you like it.
Yes.
And we didn't really have time to sort of delve into that topic, but that would have just totally passed by a non-teacher. But but to me it meant, brilliant.
Yes.
So why don't you explain why?
Because windows... our television for trapped students.
Yes. The main topic is things that drive our kids bug nutty.
Yes. Yeah. So I do have a narrow window in my door, but it is behind the students.
All right.
Because it's opposite the whiteboard.
Right,
but
yes.
I probably would have done that if at all possible anyway.
Right.
Just to give them no... means of entertaining themselves other than the whiteboard and myself.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
But the thing they love about the window, I noticed, is like snow. Snow just drives it. Like, when I say bug nutty, what I kind of mean is like, it's almost like your classroom, you've got them quieted down, they're doing the work, they're quiet, and then just one little thing, and it's
just zoom. Chaos.
Yeah, it's chaos, yeah. And a bug nutty. So just like, snow. Just little flakes of snow start coming down, and it's chaos. The kids are up and they're at the window and they're just like, snow!
Yeah. I think our students sort of do that for rain even. If it suddenly starts raining during class. I think it's just sort of any excuse to be like, oh, look at that. We can't possibly study now.
A garbage fire? that is their dream. Please God, let there be a garbage fire in the middle of class,
Yes. any sort of spontaneous flame would probably be much appreciated.
Yeah, so definitely if you have the option, take the classroom without the window, because the kids just, and then when it's snowing, what do they love, they don't call it snowball fights, they call it snow fights.
Yes.
Which is kind of bothers me.
Yeah, me too. Because I just get this picture of them just picking up a lump of snow. Yeah. A handful of snow and lobbing it as is at someone.
Well, yes, and I'm sure that's exactly what they do.
The whole bawling, taking too much time.
Yeah. It's like that Robert Heinlein book, Starship Troopers.
Oh, okay,
There's a line in there, you know, they fight those bugs.
Yeah, yeah.
But before they fight the bugs, they fight these people called the Skinnies. And the Skinnies, they were terrible fighters. And there's a line in there, something like, they just didn't get the idea of war. And I just think that's my kids with snow fighting, snowball fights. They're the Skinnies, and they just don't get the idea of a snowball fight, you know. Gotta put a rock in there, kid, first of all.
You know? Okay, see, I'm from the South, so I didn't even know that.
Oh, geez, yeah. And then you're not building defensive positions. Like, what are you doing? You know, you gotta be digging a trench line, you gotta be making forts, you know. You got.
I don't think there's really enough snow here.
You
got to
set up your pickets. You know, it's like, come on, kids. Oh man.
Whenever I see somebody making a snowman, and because the snow is generally so shallow, you know, like a couple of centimeters, you know, it's all grass and sticks and leaves and everything all like sticking out of it, like some sort of crazy fur. I just feel kind of bad for them.
Man.
The will was there.
The other thing that the kids love, they go bug nutty for, is the amusement park. And I can never figure this out. The one ride they absolutely love, like, to the last. I've never heard a kid go, that is so freaking lame, they call it the Viking.
Yes, yeah. And the Viking is what it's called in the States. And
is that called in the States?
Yeah, and seriously, second only to teacups. It's the lamest ride ever. That's like the ride that you can ride if you're too short for any other ride.
Right. Or we might also call it the pirate ship. It's a swing that looks like a ship and just goes back and forth, up and down.
Slowly.
Yeah, slowly. And then eventually it kind of goes up really high, and there's that little moment of fear, ooh, I might fall out. And then, yeah.
Right. I might fall out if I didn't have 17 harnesses on me, trapping me in place.
Well, I'm sure there are amusement parks here if you want to go to Dreamland or Seoul. Soul,
right? Yeah, where they last maintained the equipment in the 70s sometime.
Yeah.
So there might be some genuine fear there.
Yeah, there's a couple of those amusement parks I don't know if I want to go to.
Yeah. Yeah, on Thursday, a large percentage of my students went to Everland because it's pretty close where we are. And all of them seemed surprised at the crowd.
Oh, right,
to a man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I went to Everland. Many people. Really, you don't say.
Even despite the rain? Wow, that's more your stick, what do you call it, stick-to-itiveness?
Yeah. We're going to enjoy our day off if it kills us.
Yes, exactly.
Kind of like National Lampoon's Vacation.
You know? Wow. And there was that thing where the haunted house, they always call it the ghost house.
Yes, the ghost house.
Ghost house. And the ghost house at Lotte World is the single lamest thing. I know you would be begging to be on the teacup ride. After the first 10 minutes in the ghost house, it's like this room and you go in and they turn off the lights.
And wait, you go in and the lights are on?
First, and then they turn them
off.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. Little concession to safety there. And then you put your hand on a table and then it shakes a little bit and there's some scary noises. And then I think there's like some little lights, and then you leave. But you gotta wait in line like an hour and a half to get into the ghost house for some dark, some little table shaking, some scary noises, and some lights.
So basically, you could recreate it at home with a friend.
Yeah,
and just take turns shaking the table.
Yeah, I know.
And like flashing a flashlight.
Yeah, exactly. Or your cell phone LCD
screen. Yeah, your
screen.
Cell phone light.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, they love, the kids love toast.
Yeah, but what they call toast is not what we call toast.
Okay, I've never actually tried the toast because there's toast places everywhere.
Yeah.
And then you look at, you go,
toast?
Toast.
You know, I thought that for the longest time too. Like, why is toast such a selling point? It's actually a toasted sandwich.
Okay, a toasted sandwich.
So it usually like some sort of like fried egg or some sort of prepared egg.
Okay.
And something that is horribly wrong for it, like ketchup and mayonnaise and mustard.
Okay.
And whatever else, you know, pickles, you know, whatever sort of delicious things would normally go on toast and egg.
What did,
Yeah, students all love it, though.
Okay. It was like a long time ago on David Letterman's show. They used to have Larry Bud Melman. He would do this like toast on a stick, and I just I've been waiting for to see that actually. Sometimes just some toast on a stick, you know. Yeah.
But what I like especially is the students. Some of them call it toast bun, toast bread.
Toast.
And it's actually it's still like a sandwich. You know, it's not.
Okay. Right.
Like I thought maybe that would differentiate. Okay. You know. Yeah. No.
What did I made some. I made some. BLTs, bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwiches for my coworkers. Last Monday, fried up a bunch of bacon and bought some bread. We have a toaster at work.
Ooh.
Yeah, brought in all the fixings and then they really liked it because they love toast. But I don't think they really have BLTs here because they seem like, oh, what is this manna from heaven? This bacon, lettuce, tomato.
Well, if you ever see the bacon that is served on a sandwich here, it usually looks like boiled or something. It has, you know, the life of a shoestring.
Ah, yes. This is crispy fried bacon.
Yeah. So I'm sure it might have been the crispiness as well.
popsicles?
Yes.
Yeah, they love popsicles. Like, you can buy, you go to, like, Lotte Mart, you can buy, like, the little popsicle molds. And make your own popsicles. You know, we would do our kids put in the fruit juice and put it in the freezer. Yeah, so that's sometimes a cheap little thing for your kids. You know, buy some juice or even Coke. And then if you got a freezer at work, you know, fridge at work, throw it in the freezer. And then good class, you can have popsicles.
And I can give like a cheapskate version of that. You can get the Dixie cups, which my school provides for free, and the skewers.
Okay, right.
Because you can buy whole packs of skewers for like 100 won.
Oh, I never thought about that.
And just stick it in, and then you don't have to worry about washing you know, a kid skating out with one of your popsicle sticks, you know.
I always send one of the kids out to clean it. But, you know, they're not in class, and they're cleaning it, so.
Yeah. Last year's, or maybe it was year before last, the big thing that disgusted me was the tomato popsicle.
Mm, yeah.
This year's product is the corn popsicle.
Oh, you know, I was actually looking at that as our snack of the week. I was thinking about bringing in a tomato popsicle.
For the record, you're not allowed.
Okay, all right. Yeah, just blacklist some things, snack of the week.
No squid skin.
All right, yeah.
And no tomato or corn popsicles.
But you know, my kids always call it ice cream.
Yeah,
popsicles,
yeah.
Popsicles, ice cream.
It's all ice cream. It doesn't matter what it's actually made of.
Yeah. And what did my friend, woman who does the voiceovers, she's got this little boy or son. And last summer, I bought that popsicle mold, and I gave it to her. Mm-hmm. She'd never seen that before.
Oh.
And I'm sort of explaining it to her, you know, like, well, you just put in juice. And then you just put it in the freezer. And trust me, little boys, just they love it. And she's like, this skeptical look on her face.
Like, why would he like that?
Exactly. Like, that doesn't make any sense, you know. And so we go to this little cafe, and she's got the little popsicle mold thing out. And then the door opens, and this mother comes in with her, like, five-year-old. And I've never seen such a heat-stressed kid in my life. Like, the kid's sweating and, you know, his, you know, eyes are rolling back. And he sees the popsicle mold and he just makes a freaking beeline right for it. And he's just like, give me, give me, give me. And then my friend's like, oh, you're right. I didn't, you know. I guess you're right. I guess little boys do love these things. And I'm like, couldn't have been a better timing, you know? Like, you thought I was crazy, but I'm not. I know what it's like to be a little boy. Man. We always talk about how kids freak out about the body hair.
Yeah.
The other day, because it's getting warm out, so I was, like, wearing shorts in class. But not, like, Adidas running shorts, you know? Like, throw a pickle down the front. Nothing like that, right? Nothing tasteless. It's just like what I'm wearing now, kind of the jodhpur kind of, you know.
Cover the knee.
Exactly. Yeah, sort of the, you know. Hitler wore them too, you know. And
and what you do want to do is point out all the similarities you can find between yourself and Hitler.
Well, it's they've been made before, those comparisons. So, but yeah, so so I was kind of wearing those, and but you know, I'm like I think I could even wear shorter shorts, because if you look at like the female teachers, I mean, they're wearing like little napkins around their waists, you know, like what they call skirts, and you know, and like tops with, you know, the F word on it, and
excellent.
And I'm like, okay, well, wait, if they can wear that, you know, little little short hot pants and stuff, and every time I talk about these fashion trends, that means I got to go out and research them and take pictures. And just put it up on the. Blog, but yeah. But I mean, if they can wear that, I know.
Yeah.
You as head teacher, you kind of got a bit of a dress code.
Yeah, ours is pretty relaxed. We cannot wear shorts. Okay. Although if it's sort of between the knee and the ankle, that's
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But closer to the ankle than the knee is better. We cannot wear thong sandals.
All right.
Let me specify sandals.
Right, okay, good.
Let's see, what else? Oh, it's gotten pretty relaxed this year. Okay. So, you know, some t-shirts, jeans, you know, but it has to be, like, maintained clothing. Like, you can't show up in something that you would normally, in the States, be saving to wash your car,
right.
You know.
Anyway, so, you know, it's the first warm day, and I'm kind of wearing these. And then one of my students, she's sort of looking, and she's like, teacher, raise her hand, teacher, teacher, face, zero, your body, zero, your legs, zero.
Nice.
So I'm like, wait, what's that again? So I write it on the board, face, zero, out of 10? Yes. All right. Body, out of 10? Yes. 0 out of 10. Legs out of 10? 0 out of 10. So I'm like, what's our total? So I'm like, 3 times 0 equals 0. 0 plus 0 plus 0. That's still 0. I'm playing with the numbers. I'm like, 1 0, 2 0, 3 0s. Hey, I got a 3. I got a 3. She's just sort of looking at me like, no teacher.
Yes. I have to say, as on the whole, our students generally have not been taught the social niceties that get taught in the States, such as, you know, don't walk up to someone and say, face zero. You know.
It was
just
funny.
A common courtesy.
It was funny, though. Oh, man. What was it? Harry Potter. Kids go bug nutty for Harry Potter.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. The new Harry Potter movie is coming out, I think.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll know exactly the second it opens.
Right.
This very weekend, all of my students that have not yet seen Spider-Man 3 are all going to see it.
Okay.
A great many of them have already seen it, though. They went and saw it, like, the day it opened.
Oh, really? Okay. Shrek. Shrek. They love Shrek.
Yeah, Shrek.
Yeah. Anything else that drive your kids bug nutty?
Yu-Gi-Oh! Seems to be on its way out, if not already out. Yeah, they go through their little phases pretty quickly here, I find. But Harry Potter has had some staying power.
Okay. K-1 fighting, they're currently into the K-1 fighting.
Well, my students, not really that much.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you've got a real high-class bunch there.
Well, no, a year or so ago, they were all into WWE.
Yeah, the World Wrestling, it's no longer WWE, World Wrestling Federation, now it's World Wrestling
Entertainment.
Entertainment.
Yeah, I guess the World Wide Left Fund, probably.
They lost
enough of
that.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
A little smackdown on the wrestlers. Yeah, that was cool.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds. I saw an English t-shirt today, and it doesn't sound English t-shirty, but it was more like the graphic, and the slogan was, "We need more trees, less bush." You know, political statement, right?
Yes.
You know, like, you know, less. We need less of George W. Bush, more trees. But you know, the graphic was just some trees, and so I'm thinking, okay, someone must have seen that on a t-shirt and not really understood the political twist to it, and then just thought, oh, that's nice, I'll put that on a t-shirt here.
Yeah, I saw someone on the way over who had a shirt on that said Buckaroo.
Buckaroo.
Which I thought was kind of funny.
No, there's a big popular shirt these days. It's like Naughty and Wildcats.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is there. Naughty and Wildcats. Man. One of the things I thought about English t-shirt fines, how to be rude to people. Now, normally on this podcast, I hope if anything, people come away with the idea that you should be polite to the people around you, your coworkers, your students, the you know, ajumas and ajushis in the street. And but I had an instance where I was waiting for a light, and this sort of grubby bum guy kind of, you know, wants money from me. And I've got my headphones on, so I'm just not, clearly I'm not part of this world and want to be part of the world. But he wants money from me, and again, I do the no polite thing. Oh, no thank you, no thank you. And then, you know, take a very purpose step away from him, which I think should communicate.
Yeah.
No thank you, and I step away, right? So he starts touching my arm with his grubby bum hands, and give me money, give me money, give me money. So finally, I shout at him, you know, and I'm in like a crowd of like people in business suits and stuff. I just shout at him, Hajima! Which means
don't.
Yeah, don't. And then he seemed sort of shocked, like, you know, I was saying something to him in Korean. Then he kind of stepped back, and then the light changed, and they went on. So yeah, Hajima. But Hajima and Hajiman. Hajiman means but.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hajima. The way I remember Hajima, ma, like your mother. So picture your mother in a turban, and a haji, someone who's gone on the hajira. You don't want to send your mom on a hajira. Haji ma. You don't want to.
You have the best mnemonics.
it's a good way to remember it. So yeah.
But you know what? I bet he was doing that to you because he was because you're a foreigner.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Because foreigners like myself give money to homeless people, and Koreans don't.
Really?
Yeah. I give money, seriously. I give money to every homeless person I see.
So even if a grubby bum guy is like touching you,
I headed off the pass. I just give them 1,000 won and they're gone.
Really?
Yeah.
But even if they come up from behind you and are grubby touching you?
That has never happened to me, I have to say. If that happened to me, I'd be a little freaked out.
All right.
But yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, my roommate in Jeonju got yelled at by a homeless guy one time for giving him 10 won coins. Now, she gave him like 2 handfuls.
Oh, yeah.
But he was just mad that they were 10 won coins.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. And then she was like, well, if you don't want my money, you know.
Yeah, I'll take them back.
Yeah.
Well, you see that sometimes, you know, the people who are like, they're kind of like half sleeping, half begging on the subway stairs.
Yeah.
You know, kindly blocking half the subway stairs at rush hour.
Well, I think they're just covering their face.
Or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
And their little boxes are usually filled overflowing with 10 won coins. Maybe even more so now that they've made them the little ones that cannot be used anywhere on the planet.
Oh, right, because machines wouldn't take them.
Yeah,
because I'm sure they wouldn't, like, refigure the machines.
They're not going to dick around with machines for the new...
For a 10 won coin. Jesus. They should have just gotten rid of the 10 won coin.
The phone system actually takes the 10 won coins.
Does it?
Yeah, which is bizarre. And it's not like you can even make much of a call.
Yeah, you'd have to use, like, 50 of them.
Yeah. But I don't know, what's a good way to kind of, like, one time I was on the subway, and there was this guy who was, like, coming up to me, like, Jesus, Jesus, you know, like he was preaching, and because, you know, I'm a white guy, it must mean I'm a Christian, so I don't know, so he starts doing his whole little Jesus dance in front of me, you know, and I'm, like, reading, so I sort of, but he had been doing his whole little Jesus thing to everybody else down the car, and he finally stops at me. And then I just sort of look up at him, and then I kind of give him a look like I would give, you know, one of my little 8-year-olds. And I just sort of put my finger to my lips, and I go, shh, like he's a child. And then I go look back at my book, and I thought, oh boy, that must have been like, not expected that. Like, I am a preacher. I'm a man of God. I am a grown adult man. I should not be treated like a child.
This is my church. You may call it the subway, but.
Yeah. Have you ever had an opportunity where you wanted to be rude to somebody?
Oh, yeah. The people who just come on and march through the subway announcing that God is wonderful, they're okay. Fine. But the ones that have the mic, they really make me angry. And the salespeople on the subway that block the exit. Now, on the Bundang line, only one set of doors opens. Every single stop is on the same side.
Okay.
So all they have to do is see which side they got in on and put their crap on the other side.
Right. Yes, right.
But they'll, like, block the exit.
Yeah.
And then stand in the middle.
Right.
And for some reason, they always know, like, when it's my stop, because that's when they'll, like, block my egress.
See, if they had... You know, it's Darwinian. If they had this advanced planning skill, they wouldn't be selling crap on the subway. They'd be working at Samsung, right?
Right.
Those exams are coming up. I better study for them.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I have to say that's something that part of my evolution in Korea, because when I first came, I would buy everything on the subway. I loved all that crap.
Yeah.
It was like the checkout line at this the grocery store. You know, like the longer you're in line, the better that crap looks.
Yeah.
But now I can resist.
All right. Man. And on that topic, it's English teacher fine. It's crappy jobs. Crappy jobs in Korea, besides our own.
God, are there many of them?
Yeah.
Jesus.
What would you say is your the number one crappy job?
I think being the homeowner that's got to carry bricks. You know? I think it was in Chunju, somewhere that I was living, where outside my window they were repaving a large stretch of sidewalk. Oh no, it was in Bundang. And they were removing one set of bricks and then changing them to a different color of bricks.
Okay.
And all of the women doing it, they were all like in their 60s plus.
Wow.
And they would just load up like a little backload of them.
Right, yes, okay.
And then toddle them off,
right.
You know, like six or seven bricks at a time.
Right, yes.
And then come back and get in all day for days.
Are they the ones that miraculously got calcium in their adult life, or are they the ones that never got calcium?
It seemed to be the ones that were not quite so bent over.
Okay.
Although probably after, you know, a couple of weeks of hauling bricks, that might rectify the situation.
Right, yeah. We should limit this to middle-aged, able-bodied people versus the... Because it's too easy if the topic is crappy old people jobs.
Any number of crappy jobs in Korea. I would say anything in customer service would really suck.
Right, like salespeople. Not that I think the customers are rude, it's just that there's a lot of standing around you have to do.
Yeah.
A lot of just doing nothing.
Yeah, because they have far, far, far too many employees for the level of business wherever you go. And so, you know, you really don't need eight people to serve one customer.
Yeah. And you absolutely cannot sit down. Forget it. You
no,
say,
no.
Fire.
Sit, lean, anything. Maybe you can talk on your phone, you know.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah. You're allowed to do that.
Yeah. Nobody can't take away the phone rights. Yeah.
Nobody would deny you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the customer service people. The ones I feel sorry for, I call them the booth ajumas.
Oh, the ones outside?
Outside, inside, you know, it's like a lot of times it's like the lottery booths.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like they're just, to call it a booth is to really stretch the definition of
booth. Yeah, some sort of like a little kiosk.
Yeah,
kind it's of not. Tiny, tiny kiosk.
Like coffin, maybe, like more of like
a
coffin.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah. Booth implies spaciousness.
Yes.
Like, you know, there may be
the space of their seat.
Yeah, there's room for you to turn around in a booth. You
know? If you're sitting on a swivel chair.
Yeah. But yeah, but these incredibly tiny, tiny little coffins. And, you know, say they sell lottery tickets. And they're there. I don't know how long they're there. Maybe they're in like...
Oh, God. Probably 10 hours a day.
Yeah. They're in a subway station in summer.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's got to be... That can't be good.
Well, I think the people outside the department stores that have to greet people coming in, that have to be like in full uniform with gloves on, and a hat, and it's like 100 degrees outside.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or, you know, in the winter.
There's one department store where they've got, you know, the guy who opens the door for you. And he's usually in the center doors. And I try to, I usually cut through this department store to get to the hotel to buy my newspapers. And so I kind of wait until he's not looking. And then I try to slip through one of the side doors so he doesn't
make a break for it.
Exactly, so he doesn't open the door for me, because I don't like that.
Yeah.
Which is like the salespeople, when you actually go shopping, how they follow you.
Yeah.
They're just like right on your...
I feel like they think I'm going to shoplift, because in the States, that's the case.
Exactly, that's exactly
how the I only feel. Time you get followed like that is if they think you're a shoplifter.
Exactly, that freaks me out. But yeah. But I think that's just what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's why they have 800 employees for every, customer.
Yeah, that freaks me out. And the parking lot dancers.
Oh God, I love those. My apartment used to be right outside where they would do their Sunday morning practice.
Okay.
That was amazing. It was like a chorus line.
Were they actually practice?
They were practicing. They would have whistles going and spinning and kicking. And oh my God, it was like a chorus line.
Wow.
It was awesome. Unfortunately, I have no photographic evidence. But it was incredible.
Well, for the listeners, right? These are usually it's like a department store or some big shopping center. Especially if it's geared for younger people, they'll have like a woman, and then some ridiculous costume, and she stands in a booth. And this is actually more like a booth, She gets a booth, not a coffin. And when she hits 30, they'll. She gets
30,
into
come
a
on,
coffin.
25.
Yeah, okay, but she's still young.
Yeah.
She gets a boot. And somehow she's there and she sort of dances. And then she usually has like a little microphone.
Yeah.
And then she's shouting something. And then she'll direct traffic, and they always have in English.
Yes.
Out in English, never in Korean. So that's the purpose of the traffic dancing director person is to actually show them the in and the out. But you could put in and out in Korean in burning letters, as bright as the sun, and people still wouldn't get it.
Right.
So actually, the logic in that, I understand now. I've worked it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why have anything... Why have signs here? Anyway, so the traffic dancers, go in this way. And they got gloves, always gloves.
Yeah, yeah.
Little twirl this way, little twirl that way.
Yeah.
And you're sucking fumes all day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, risking your life. The Lotte department store, the one that was where they had the chorus line, they have a mix, men and women, and the women get the booth.
Okay.
And the men are actually in traffic.
Right, yes.
So, like, they will stop traffic so customers can come and go.
Right.
So their cars don't have to wait, until there's a break in the traffic, because God forbid that someone coming out of the store would have to follow traffic laws.
I know.
I guess that's part of the, being a valued customer.
Yeah, cab drivers. That's got to be a job that sucks.
Oh my God! Yes.
Yeah. You know how much the average cabbie makes?
I heard something like $30,000 a day, something like that.
Well, I know a month it's about $1.8 million a month. Now, by comparison, your average Hagwon salary is about $2 million a month. So he's making slightly less than a Hagwon teacher, but we're talking. I mean, the number of hours he's working, he's probably working 12, 14-hour days.
Yeah.
To earn that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a miserable job.
Yeah, a miserable job. Got to deal with whatever kind of crazy people. I know how many times I've gotten in a cab and had only the vaguest notion of where I was going.
Right, okay.
I try to be nice, least like have as much information as possible. But I'm sure there's a lot of people who, I want to go to blah, blah building.
Right.
Find it,
Well, there was a Carrefour.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember a lot of times I would take a cab back from Carrefour to my apartment because I knew how to get back. I knew how to say to get back to my apartment.
Yeah.
I knew how to pronounce it, the location. And, but Carrefour, to tell them to get to Carrefour, they would have no idea what that is. They had to,
Gotta poo.
Yeah, gotta poo. And I just, I can't say poo,
Yeah.
I don't know. Gotta poo, gotta say it. Something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, speaking about poo, There's another horrible job. Uh-oh. Is the people who have to clean out bathrooms. Now,
yes.
That's probably not a pleasant job anywhere in the world.
But far worse here.
Yes, because I know the reason. I can't believe that it's people haven't figured out
the today. newer buildings, it's okay.
Okay.
Like, I always flush my paper,
okay,
in
right,
case
yes.
you were wondering.
Yes.
You know.
So what people do is, and I'm thinking it's tradition.
Yeah, because older pipes really could not handle paper.
Okay. All right. The people don't, after they've wiped themselves, they don't throw it in the toilet. There's a little garbage can, and they throw it in the garbage can. Right. And, of course, that has to be cleaned out.
Yeah.
And in summer. Yeah, and the reason is that I guess, like, older buildings, for some reason, their pipes couldn't handle toilet paper designed to melt in water. And
yeah.
They would get clogged. But modern buildings can do it, but the tradition still continues.
Yeah, yeah.
People still, even in the most modern building in Korea, the
yeah.
people will still throw their toilet paper in the little garbage. And yeah, that's, if you don't breathe through your mouth when you enter a washroom reflexively, you'll definitely learn to make that reflex.
Yes.
Here, that the moment you step into a washroom here, you just breathe through your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in summer they get pretty ripe sometimes.
Yeah, so that's got to be one damn nasty
yeah.
job.
So that's how you can tell a truly fancy place, because it doesn't stink.
Yeah.
But if you go to some of the places where the bathroom is sort of like in the stairwell or whatever, like a squatty potty in the stairwell,
yeah.
then you know you're in trouble. You just have to learn to hold it.
Oh, man. Have you ever been to a gym?
No, public nakedness oh. has no appeal for me.
No, I mean, I've never been there, but but one of my friends, a couple of my friends, female friends, would go there, and there's an ajumma who cleans you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they clean all of you.
Yeah.
So, like, right between your legs, like a vagina scrubber. Like, there's a woman's job, and her job is just to scrub your vagina.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Ooh, now I'll definitely go.
I don't know if that would be such a great job either, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard it's, like, the cleanest you'll ever be, because they use something akin to Brillo to do the scrubbing.
Well, I hope not there, but
yeah, yeah.
I hope they're a little bit more gentle there, but... the weird thing I saw, the tteokbokki people, you know, the people who sell street food. And again, that's that awful job too, selling
yeah.
the tteokbokki.
Any sort of outside standing job
okay.
sucks.
That's kind of like the, where I came from, it was like, do you want to spend your life delivering pizzas?
Yeah.
You don't, do you? You should go to university so you can deliver pizzas or
but
teach
here,
English.
I don't think so. Like, I think people are like, ooh, I want my own shop. I'll have a tteokbokki place.
No, Koreans have told me that that's like their warning. It's like,
oh, really?
Do you want to grow up to be one of those ladies selling tteokbokki
oh, okay.
on the street? Yeah, so, but then there's like the people who make the, you know, the barbecue squid.
Yeah.
And have you ever been with a Korean and you're just like walking along the street and they're like barbecuing the squid and your friend will just like stop dead and they'll be like, that smell, I must have it.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know, there's something about the barbecue squid smell that just, it would be like melted cheese to us. Like melted cheese to us smells damn good, but I think to especially older Koreans.
Yeah,
I don't
so
think,
much.
I don't think they like the melted cheese smell. But, yeah. So anyway, it was raining, and I'm in the subway station, you know, go down to the subway station, and the woman has moved her charcoal grill down into the subway station to barbecue down
nice.
There.
Nice.
And I'm just like, yeah, no carbon monoxide fumes are coming from that. I don't know.
Great. Yes.
Are you getting really tired and feeling kind of a tingling on your lips?
Hey, there's fresh air coming through the subway tunnel. Come on.
Oh man, I just hope that subway kiosk was well vented. But
oh my god, I'm sorry. I'm just having a picture of someone barbecuing down in the subway
with charcoal.
Why not?
Oh, god. One of my students. Oh, she's about 11 years old, and you know I always ask them, "How are you? How are you? Good? So-so?" Bad. And she's like, oh, I am bad teacher. Why are you bad? I don't have any money. And I'm like, you should get a job. And she's like, what? I'm like, well, yeah, Lotharia, just across the street. Go get a job at Lotharia. And she's like, but teacher, I am a child. I'm like, so? This is Korea. What does it matter? You know, like, there are laws here against that? Psh.
It's a freaky foreigner.
Freaky foreigner. There is this guy, teacher message board. And this is sometimes the quality of people that come here to teach.
Yeah.
And he was really upset. He was looking up in the sky and he noticed these, we would call them contrails, jet contrails,
yeah, yeah.
Right? But he was convinced they were not jet contrails. They were chemtrails, that jets are spewing some mind control chemical into the sky.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess maybe he had to leave America because of this. And those bastards, they followed him to Korea. You know?
I hate that.
Yeah. And there was no way you could reason with that guy. You know, it'd be like, well, how are these chemtrails different from normal jet contrails, you know? Well,
spiritually, they are different.
Well, his claim was normal jet contrails don't turn into clouds, right? Not only do they not turn into clouds, but normal jet contrails don't last all day. So I'm like, okay, are you telling me you just sat there all day and watched that chemtrail and watched it turn into a cloud? Or you saw this chemtrail, maybe it went away, did something productive with your life, came back a few hours later, behold, there are now clouds in the sky. Either way, it's not looking good. You know what I mean? From a,
right.
From any perspective, that if you're going, because clouds just never appear in the sky.
No.
Right?
They take days to build up.
There was this other contention that those chemtrails, normal contrails don't create clouds, whereas the chemtrails take a perfectly sunny day, lay down some of these chemtrails, 5 hours later, there are clouds in the sky. They came from the chemtrails.
Obviously.
Yeah. As well, there's a awful haze in the sky.
Oh, no. Well, that's like, that's the proof. That's
I know.
There.
Jeez. So it's like, so you're saying it's not like all that crap coming from China or
the pollution.
Korean industry, you know. It's the American government laying down these.
They found you. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So
yeah, and more people were like, I think you're crazy.
Yeah.
You know, angry and angrier got.
Yeah.
And you know, why don't you people wake up and see the obvious? And ugh.
Yeah. For anyone who has not flown into Seoul in the summertime, you can actually see the air before you get here. It's like a big yellowy-brown smudge in the sky.
Yeah. It is not the government.
I don't know. It is the government, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Lack of rules.
But yeah, one of my friends, back in high school, they had a English teacher, a foreign English teacher, and he would not teach English. He would spend most of the class teaching kids about demons.
Excellent.
And how they work, you know, taking people over and how you can protect yourself from the demons. And
man, why couldn't we have had any crazies in my school like that?
Yeah. And you know, because it's like, it's not English class. You know, they loved it because they could just sort of sit there and they had no idea what he was saying. And other than like some weird things about demons and, you know, they're not tested on it. And,
yeah.
And they could just like read their comic books and... But, yeah, I don't know. So sometimes a lot of those people find their ways into classrooms here.
Yeah.
Man. But the other sort of freaky foreigner kind of thread that's been going on is Koreans don't respect me. You know, that on the job, the Hagwon industry, I'm not respected, you know. I'm just not automatically given a raise, and you know, and I'm not paid enough, and I'm not respected enough, and I don't get the benefits people who work at Samsung get. They kind of mix all these weird jobs into the, confuse it with, you know, the Hagwon industry. And
yeah, I always want to say to those people, like, what have you done to increase your value to the company?
Yeah.
What kind of work output do you do in comparison to a Samsung employee?
Exactly.
You know, who has to, you know, give their life and their blood and possibly their firstborn son to the company for probably at the lower levels not much more than what we're making.
Yeah.
And they don't get free housing.
Yeah.
You know.
And I'm like, nothing I could do to sort of explain it seemed to get through to this one guy who's like, well, okay, in the Korean system, you know, it's not a meritocracy, right?
Yeah.
You are, you know, you're promoted and given raises based on your age and your university degree and are you married, you know, many Confucian standards, right? And, but we are not part of that system because we are not Korean, right?
Yeah.
Okay. At the same time, right, we're given a lot of handholding, given a free apartment, we're not expected to obey, you know, have to kowtow to the Confucian system, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crap we don't have to do. So, you know, it's like you want all the benefits of the bizarre effed up Korean system.
Good save.
But you don't want the negatives, right?
Right.
But you want the benefits of your privileged Western foreigner, but, you know, but okay, there are some negatives, you know, that you are not viewed as being Korean, you're not viewed as being here for life, raising a family.
Yeah.
People they're entirely surprised. Maybe you sign a contract for a second year. They don't expect you to go beyond a year. So the whole pay and promotion system's not structured around that. It's just you're in, you're out, we hire a new guy.
Yeah. You
know? And yeah. And so the way you get a raise, and this is useful information, the way you get a raise is, right, like you're saying, you do a good job.
Yeah.
Right. And then when your contract renewal comes up, you have to negotiate.
Yeah.
If you say nothing, it's like in the West.
Yeah.
Right.
You say nothing, you get nothing.
Yeah. Most bosses, I mean, a lot of times you get little, if it's a big company, they're little COLA raises, right?
Yeah.
But cost of living allowance, right? Yeah. But if you want a real raise, you have to say something. You have to prove your worth. You have to be able to negotiate. And it's the same thing here. So, you know, when your contract comes up, you have to sort of go, well, you know, if you can give me more money or else maybe I'll leave, that kind of thing. You have to be able to prepare, you have to be prepared to withdraw your labor.
Right.
That's the only leverage of control we have. You don't like the situation, don't work there.
Yeah.
Find a new job.
You signed the contract.
Exactly.
They didn't twist your arm.
Right. If everywhere you go, it's awful, 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 then you have to leave Korea.
Yeah.
You can't just sort of sit here and then sort of gripe and complain and not do anything.
Right.
I don't know. But there just seems to be a loud percentage of teachers who just seem to think that they're owed something.
Yeah, for showing up. Most days.
Exactly. The George.
Generally.
Yeah. The George W. Bush.
Somewhat sober.
Yeah. The George W. Bush sort of map to success. You just got to show up.
Yeah.
I don't know. So we are getting a raise. I mean, what is your strategy?
Well, my school gives a standard raise every year.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I was quite pleased when I got more than the standard raise this year.
Oh, they love you.
I know.
Wow, yeah.
Although last night, and after a few scotches, a coworker said that he thought maybe I'd become complacent. So.
Oh, really?
And he's right. So
okay.
I think I need to step up my game a little bit.
Yeah. It kicks in after.
I've been there like 8,000 years. So, you know, I've taught all of the books a bunch of times, except for the novels that I teach.
Yeah.
So he was right. I need to, you know, get my enthusiasm back.
Yeah, but I mean, most Hagwons are small businesses.
Yeah.
And if they think you're happy, they don't say anything, they won't pay you more. They'll just think you're happy.
Yeah, but anytime you go for a new contract, surely you should ask for a small increase.
Exactly.
I mean, you shouldn't be like, I need $500,000 a month more than I got last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because a couple of my students didn't quit.
Exactly. Yeah.
You have to be reasonable in what you're asking for, yeah. And you also need to have some reason to back it up, like show them some quality of work that you've been doing.
Yeah, for sure. But what the understanding too is that the glass ceiling here is incredibly, incredibly low because you know, there can only be so many desks in a classroom. They can only get so much profit out of you teaching. So they can't double your wage. You know, you're looking at 100,000 won a month raise, maybe 200,000 max, but you're not gonna go start off at 2,000 won and then after 3 years be making 3,000.
3 million.
Sorry, 3 million.
Yeah.
2,000 bucks. 3,000 bucks. 2 million won. 3 million won. Yeah. So I don't know.
In Korean news.
We weren't originally gonna do it in the news this week, but something came up that was just too good. But before we do that, we got a couple updates. You have an update on that. There was the guy who was being sued by his former employer for libel.
Yes, and the update was that we had sort of joked around about how the maximum fine is only 600,000 or 700,000 won.
Right, right.
So, you know, libel all you want. But what we were talking about is actually print.
Oh, okay.
And apparently they have different rules for the internet because of the rampant internet slagging that goes on here.
Okay.
So Ko So Young, an actress here, was falsely accused of a relationship on the internet. I do not know what the exact slurs were, but she sued the website that published this said rumor, and she can win up to 50 million won because online comments posted with intent to defame have a penalty of up to 50 million won. So actually, that foreign teacher might want to get out of Dodge.
So 50 million won, that's 50,000 bucks.
$50,000,
That's more than you'll save in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, way more. Yeah, that's not a bad idea to get it. But yeah, unfortunately, with the exit customs here, it might be a bit hard for him to slip out if they have some sort of...
Oh, if they have flagged his...
Because
you wouldn't know until you got there, and you've already got your ticket, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those exit customs, that's a real... that's a real pain in the ass.
Yeah. I always kind of wonder, when I first came, there were a lot of Canadians here teaching on tourist visas because they could get a 6-month visa automatically.
Right, yeah.
And I knew guys, they had apartments, they were here for years, and they would every 6 months they would go to Japan for the weekend. And that was pretty common because I think the records were pretty shoddy back then.
Okay.
But I wonder how many of them just showed up one day at the airport and were denied reentry because they had no visible means of support because they were just teaching privates.
Yeah, I you would think that's a real red flag, you know.
Yeah. Like, oh, you know. Lived here for 3 years and you don't work and you don't go to school and
It's just a succession of tourist visa stamps in your passport.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the other update is the Hanwha guy, the Chaebol boss who rounded up those bar workers and lightly tortured them, and then
in air quotes.
Yeah, and so I got it's more background information. I guess the people in the club, you know, they reported it to the police, but the police sort of sat on it. They didn't do anything, and then internet rumors were so rampant. Is the upside of the internet here is it kind of riles people up.
Sometimes, does it ever?
Yeah, sometimes it riles them for good, most of the time for bad.
Yeah, but, just for like no good purpose.
Yeah. So anyway, so the public got so riled up about rumors about the Hanwha guy, you know, beating up these people that, you know, they sort of forced the police's hand.
Yeah.
All right. Now there's a thing here called blood money. If you kind of get into a fight, you can a lot of times avoid criminal prosecution by just paying the victim off.
Yeah.
And they give them the money, and then they'll drop the suit. And,
Oh, that also works if you hit them with your car, FYI.
Yeah. It's good to know. So you're not like North America, where you actually have to sort of run over them again, back over them, and actually kill them, or else you're like, oh crap, I ran over a medical student. I am in big trouble. I'm gonna be paying for this forever. Run them over. That's. I had a business teacher that advised that. just run them. Just kill them. It's much cheaper.
Oh, in Louisiana, this was sort Catholic of the school, the common thought is if because you can legally shoot someone on your property.
Oh yeah, okay.
The common thought though is it's better to kill them, because if you shoot them and they get badly injured, they can sue.
Right. Yes. You know. Yes. So, but if you hit somebody in the street, then drag them onto your property and then shoot them.
That's fine.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Just got to hit them close to home is all.
So anyway, so the Hanhua guy, I guess now there's some blood money on the table.
Yeah.
That the people at the bar that got beaten up, they're asking, and this is incredible, because the Hanhua guy is vastly rich.
Yeah, I mean,
the
billionaire.
Guy, yeah, the guy runs a massive corporation, a collection of corporations. And so the people in the bar are asking for $20,000 each.
Ooh, they can retire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Greedy bastards.
Which I'm thinking, you know, you're in North America. In North America, like, you know, Naomi Campbell wheels a cell phone at your head. Doesn't even hit you. You ask for a million minimum. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Just on principle.
Yeah. And the Hanhua guy's got to have a lot more money than Naomi Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And now, one of the theories I've heard is, you know, if they were asking for a lot of money, 5 years later, 10 years later, when nobody's paying attention anymore, you accidentally fall out of your apartment window.
Aww.
You know? So, this powerful man.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna...
Well, also, if it's a small enough sum, like, I mean, $20,000 would be nothing to him.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, just asking for that, they're likely to just get a check cut.
Yeah.
Whereas if they're asking for millions of dollars, then there'd probably be extended negotiations and lawyers involved and all of that. So they're probably just going for the quick buck that they know they can get.
And a future threat of...
Yeah.
So that was sort of one theory, why they're asking for such a paltry amount.
Well, also just Korea doesn't have the litigious culture that we have overseas.
Except for libel.
Except for libel,
exactly.
Apparently. But I think that online thing is just because the online rumor mongering has gotten so out of hand here.
Right.
Like, that's why they've had motions to get rid of online, like, avatar names.
Right,
like,
yes.
Like, you've got to use your real legal name.
Yeah. Well, there is a real name underneath. Like, you got
to
use your
Korean
ID number.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they can usually smoke you out.
Yeah.
But the big news, and this is just mind blowing. There's a little city called Daejeon.
Not that little.
How many people?
Oh, it's pretty big. It's like the third biggest city, fourth biggest city.
Okay. Is it halfway between Seoul and Busan?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I think maybe formerly known as Daejeon, now it's Daejeon, right?
Oh no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Daegu. Daejeon is still pretty big. It's maybe like fifth or sixth biggest.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Daejeon, yeah, it's like an hour and a half south of here.
Okay, all right. But basically, I mean, not a huge metropolitan area like Seoul, where maybe they're fairly used to foreigners here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big American city.
Yeah.
Not so big Koreans.
A smaller city where very conservative, foreigners are watched anyways as a matter of principle, you know? And so the Hangwon Association has decided they're losing too much money to people doing private lessons.
Okay.
So, and that is illegal. Giving private lessons is illegal. And so to, you know, put more change in their pocket, all of their Hagwon buses, now they have banners in English and Korean saying, "Foreigners, you are being watched."
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And basically saying, you know, if you notice a foreigner giving private lessons, report him or her to the Hagwon Association, and we will give you $500. So there's a bounty. So now all the foreigners in Daejeon, like wherever they go, there's all these buses with these banners, and they're being, you know, Koreans are like, "You are being watched." You know, which, you know, has got to have a chilling effect. You know, it's like because if I'm just talking with a Korean in a restaurant, let's say you're talking to your girlfriend or your friend or something, now suddenly like the people at the table next to you are going to be like, you know, busting you.
Yeah, doing a language exchange.
Exactly.
You know, how could you prove that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because obviously if you're ever caught, what would you say? Oh, language exchange.
Yeah.
You know?
So
I like to talk to five-year-olds.
So it's just mind-numbing that, you know, that they're trying to create this atmosphere of distrust and almost fear within the foreign community.
I'm not surprised at all.
You know, very blunt, like, you are being watched, you know? And which just, it's like, why is anybody ever going to apply for a job there again? So, yeah, if you're...
Well, because they wouldn't know about it till they got there.
Well, now our listeners know. If you're listening, Daejeong, seriously, never apply for a job there because...
Yeah. You, Big Brother's watching.
Yeah, you are guilty until proven innocent. Yeah. Oh, just mindless. What some people are doing is that, you know, the hotline number, they're just calling it. Good use of your 10 won coins.
Yeah.
You know, and you're waiting at a bus stop. So people are just like, because the hotline number is only good if you can get through.
Yeah.
If people are just calling it and then hanging up, you know, that's kind of a useless hotline number. And if the guy's answering it, hello, click, hello, click, hello, who's going to man that phone, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, that's like... We can use our advanced planning skills against them. Oh man, I don't know. It just makes my blood boil. That idea. But yeah, I mean, if you're doing something illegal, fine. If you're caught, then you have nobody to blame but yourself. But just to create this, like, everybody should be watched all the time.
Well, and to make it like so obvious, like, I mean, how many Koreans do stuff under the, you know, under the table, off the books, whatever. How many supers have you gone into and they've got the register drawer sitting open so they don't have to ring up the sale, you know, or they've got a separate cash box that they sometimes use, you know, so they don't have to report that income. But the foreigners, you know, the ones that are, you know, easy to see.
Oh, man. Ugh, sorry, Daejeong.
Stay away.
Any city with a D. Then stay away. Daegu, Daejeon.
This week's teaching opportunity.
Job opportunity. And this is not a job in Daejeong. This is Gangnam. This is coming from our footprintsrecruiting.com site. We haven't had a job from here for a while. You know anything about Footprints Recruiting?
I have one friend that got a job through them, and she seemed pretty satisfied.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I've dealt with them before, and they seem pretty straightforward. And the thing I liked about them is they had, like, a document, you know, like, outlining everything, and it was funny, and it didn't give you a lot of bull crap, you know.
Yeah.
Korean students are very respectful of teachers, you know, which I've seen before in some.
Yeah, they love learning. Yeah,
exactly.
They will hang on your every word as they feed you peeled grapes.
Yeah. So they were just very, very honest in their approach and stuff like that. So so this job is Seoul Center for Higher Education, teaching Gangnam. Gangnam is South River, nice part of town. We've talked about Gangnam before. The only thing that they want here is that you have to have at least 1 year experience teaching.
But see, I think that means that they're sort of a professional operation. They want somebody that's proven themselves.
Sure, yeah. But even if you've not taught back in North America, I mean, there's always a lot of things.
No. I mean, proven that, like, you can stick a year in Korea.
Sure. Oh, you mean like here? Like,
yeah.
You think they're trying to hire only people in country?
No, not necessarily people in country, okay. But people that have shown, you know, that they can hang.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah. There are many ways you can possibly spin your job experience.
Yeah.
You know, as teaching. Yeah. And the pay is 2 million to 2.4 million, which is pretty good. housing, single furnished housing provided, round trip airfare. Yeah, not like that crap. Not like that crap summer camp thing where they want to give you like, we'll give you coupons.
Yeah. Coupons for free hugs.
Yeah. Smiles, free. Yeah. All right, so yeah. But I mean, again, you just you're pretty much your standard.
It's a lot of hours.
Teaching 30 hours a week?
35 to 40.
Working hours. Yeah, but you know, that's always just kind of by a boilerplate. You know, almost all jobs usually say that, but.
Do they?
Yeah, usually, but it's not necessarily the actual truth when you start working. Yeah. That's one of those.
Oh, I see. It says working days, working hours.
Yeah.
And then it has teaching hours. Okay, I see. So some of that is supposed to be like planning time.
Yeah, teaching hours.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. Teaching hour may not necessarily equal 1 hour. It could be 50 minutes.
Yeah, check and see how they calculate it. Because some of them get really into the teaching minutes where you've got like 15-minute breaks between every class that they don't calculate in your time worked.
Yeah. But Gangnam's very nice part of town. It's a little light on movie theaters, I think.
Gangnam?
Yeah, Gangnam. Well, no, there's a lot more these days, actually.
They've got lots of movies. They've got lots of everything in Gangnam. And they've got the two English language bookstores.
They've got a Kyobo Books.
They've got Kyobo and they've got Kim and Johnson.
Who?
Kim and Johnson. Oh, Kim and Johnson is actually like teaching materials.
Oh, okay. Well, the Bandis and Lumi. What was it?
Bandis and Looney, yeah.
At Coex.
Yeah, the one at Coex is really good. The one up at Chungno.
Sucks, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not so good, yeah.
Yeah, not so good at all.
Yeah, Bandis. Yeah, the Bandis. How do you pronounce that? Bandis and.
Yeah, I call it Bandi and Lunas, but I'm sure it's like Bandi, I don't know. Right. Bandi and Lunas.
Right.
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, they've got a really good English section there. A lot of times, you know, like a discount book table, a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that book I totally regret not buying. It was like $2, Soul of the New Machine. The book about the creation of the PDP computer. Digital corporate. Anyway.
What I hear is blah, 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 blah.
Geek stuff, yeah. Just sort of a little, a classic work of sort of computer nonfiction,
gotcha.
Computer history kind of thing. Soul of the New Machine, yeah.
2001 and you didn't buy it?
I don't know, you know, I just was like, I don't know, I was short on time and to go meet somebody.
Oh, okay, and the lines are always like 8 years long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem too. Yeah. That's one thing you have to sort of really pay attention here is a lot of big stores are not like our big stores where you can buy something anywhere where there's a cash register.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of times.
You have to buy it in the department that you saw it.
Exactly, because it's a store, but actually each area is kind of independently owned and run. Yeah. So you just can't sort of pick up something here and then bring it over there and buy something there. Yeah.
At least at the department store, they'll stop you from taking the merchandise to another section.
Yeah.
But it is really annoying at a department store because some of them, like literally 6 feet of clothing, like, you know, two racks of clothing will be one person's area.
Yeah.
And so you have to buy the stuff there and then go to the next one. But the bookstore, yeah, I mean, you think it's just a bookstore, but you cannot take stuff from one section to another.
Right. All right, that's our show. And Jennifer, how did the thing go, the Cotisol Club TA bake sale?
I'm such a spaz.
Uh-oh.
Like, I had a dinner party last night.
All right.
And the dinner party had been planned for a while.
Okay.
And I forgot about it. When I said I would go to the party thing. And then I was like, well, since I invited people to my house, I probably shouldn't blow them off. So I blew off the other thing. But, I paid my ticket. I spent my money. So,
okay. All right. That's
fair. Just was not able to tell people about Cotisol.
Man. You know, I went to go see Cirque du Soleil.
Did you?
Last night, yeah.
I heard it was good.
Well, you know, it's...
But I heard it from a student that likes the Viking.
Well, the Koreans just loved it. like Koreans in the audience were just going freaky. And it had its moments. It's a little French-Canadian thing.
Yeah.
All right.
I saw part of it on TV, but I can only watch so much.
Okay. You know, they're from Montreal. I'm from Montreal, French-Canadian. I'm half French-Canadian. I'm going to say nasty things about French-Canadians, probably. So understand I'm half French-Canadian. But but I never, ever saw Cirque du Soleil in Montreal. And you one of those weird things. You got to come to Korea to see it. So finally, I'm like, okay, I'll go see Cirque du Soleil. And tickets are hugely expensive.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, $70 for, you know, side stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like side stage behind a pillar.
Yeah. You want, like, sort of even, you know, center stage, it's like $100 a ticket. Yeah. And things are, entertainment's really cheap here normally. So,
anything sort of international.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like whenever a concert comes, I'm just always shocked. Although at home I'd probably be shocked because I think the prices have just gone really up lately.
But so I thought, oh, I'll go see it. But I used to listen to this Penn radio show. It's not on anymore. But Penn Jillette, he would always make fun of Cirque du Soleil. And, you know, my blood would kind of boil a bit when he would make fun of Cirque du Soleil because it's not only is it Canadian, but it's, you know, one of the few things Canada is known for internationally, you know. And then it's from Montreal, you know, where I'm from, and I was like, oh. So, and then I went to see it, and now I kind of understand why Penn makes fun of it. And the first half isn't bad. There's a guy who does this fancy little wheel spinning thing. And there's these little Chinese girls who do this wild top juggling. That's kind of cool, but then, there's a mime.
Oh God!
That was no, but you know a show's bad when the mime is actually the high point of the show.
Oh no!
And what was kind of cool is the mime would pull Koreans out of the audience and then involve them in things. And what really freaks me out is you know, for such a people so shy of losing face that. When you get dragged onto a stage, I've seen this before in other performances, they become huge hams. I've never seen people become such huge hams when dragged on a stage. But they did quite well. And but that was sort of interesting, sort of seeing all these sort of mild-mannered Koreans dragged down to the audience and, you know, have some big white mime dancing around them and getting them to perform. And they're doing quite a good job. Yeah. But the first half is pretty good, and then like the second half is like, it's the first time I've ever seen anything where I'm like, this could use a donkey show. You know, it's like, you know,
if anything needs a donkey show.
No, trust me, I was going, you know, and French Canadians, they'd be up to it. I'm telling you. Like, if you took the donkey, spray painted like a Harlequin pattern on the donkey, maybe played a bit of Arabic, Spanish music, they'd be into it. I don't care. It could be a man, could be a woman that just needed a donkey show. That's all I was thinking. Like, oh, God, but man.
Oh, Carl.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. Not fully worth the money, but.
I don't know, I think it'd have to be pretty spectacular for $100 a ticket.
Yeah.
Because presumably you did not go alone.
No, I want a friend.
And presumably you bought both tickets.
Why, you think I'm a chump?
See? Presumably. I presume that you know, treat a woman right.
Sometimes, yeah. You know, my women friends back in North America, I used to joke about, I'd be like, sign your name to the list. I have two lists. I have list A and I have list B. You can add your name to one list. Only one list. List A is we go to nice restaurants list. And list B is we go to nice shows. You know, the symphony, opera, ballet.
Ah, I see. So you get your choice.
You get your choice, yes.
You don't get the fancy dinner and the fancy show.
No, I'm, yeah.
You get the McDonald's and the fancy show or the $5 movie ticket. Or, you know.
And the nice restaurant.
Yeah. The nice restaurant and pick up a video on the way home.
Yeah. But I always find it's hard to get your male friends. Like, you want to go see the opera? No. But, you know, your women friends would be like, you want to get dressed up and go see the opera? Yeah. It's okay, I'll pay. Front row balcony? Yeah. All right. Yeah. You want to go to this really fancy restaurant? We'll get dressed up? No. But women friends, they'll do it. Yeah. All right. Anything else exciting?
No, I don't think so.
I
I will just say that if you're in Korea and this is your first year in Korea,
don't go see Cirque du Soleil.
That too. But enjoy the weather while you can, because despite the rumor of four seasons, it changes really quickly. It only gets hotter and more humid from here.
Well, it's not bad so far, but...
No, yeah. But it's spring lasts about a week and a half.
But do you find as you get older, hot weather doesn't affect you as much?
I'm from Louisiana.
All right.
So the summer here is like summer at home, but okay. Our summer at home lasts like from March to October.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm from Canada, and you know, summers are, they're hot and can be humid, but not particularly long. But I just remember when I was younger, it would be like, I got to sleep under an air conditioner, you know? And if I can't sleep under an air conditioner, I can't survive. And now, I don't really feel this need to always be air conditioned. I don't know, it's weird. I just think it's something with getting older.
I don't know. See, I'm kind of the opposite. I am
really?
Freakishly cold-natured. Okay. I am rather uncomfortably cold at the moment.
Yeah, we are kind of right under the air conditioning.
Yeah, so my classroom at school is known as the tropics.
Okay.
Because I only turn on the air conditioner when a majority of students demand it.
Oh, yeah.
And then as soon as one student says they're a little bit cold, I run for the remote and I turn it off. And even when I do turn it on, we have two remotes.
Okay.
One has a thermostat on it, and the other one is just power.
Oh.
And I have to get the one with the thermostat so I can turn it to 25.
Okay.
Which I don't tell my students.
Yeah. I see. You could come here and your apartment doesn't have an air conditioner.
Oh, mine does. I have central air.
Okay. Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. It's 2 inches away from the window.
Mine's got the insane two-part air conditioning unit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one of the things I can't figure out. It's like, what's wrong with just a window air conditioner? You know,
yeah.
You put it in the window, boom.
Yeah.
But here, they break it into two parts. There's the air conditioning unit with the cooling stuff.
Yeah.
And that you mount outside of your apartment.
Yeah.
And then
conveniently.
There's hoses running to a inside unit that then blows the cool air. And there's a remote control to operate it. It makes some little music when you turn it on. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you have one that your phone can control?
No. I don't.
I love that. I used to love the commercials. They've stopped playing them now because I guess the novelty has worn off. But they used to have people at the office calling to turn on their air conditioner so their house would be cool when they got home.
But if you find your school does not provide an air conditioner, and your school will not provide an air conditioner, then you can actually buy these little portable units.
Yeah.
You can't find the in-the-window units, but you can. It's like almost like what we would call dehumidifiers.
Yeah.
You would have those in Louisiana. You know, mm-hmm. just like a little unit that sits on the ground on wheels, but then there's a hose running, and then you can run the hose out a window. And of course, you have to sort of ghetto up the window with some plastic and duct tape and stuff like that, and seal it all off. But you can buy those; they're about $400 or something.
And you can also buy something with basically a big block of ice. It's like one of those ice chest things you freeze and stick in the ice chest.
Okay.
But you freeze it and you stick it in the air conditioner, and it blows the iced air.
Jeez, really? I've never seen that before.
Yeah, so it's like the ghetto cheap air conditioner, because the tiny piece of crap little air conditioners that you look at and think, yeah, that's $100. No, it's like $1 million. $1 million won.
Yeah.
They're really ridiculously overpriced for what you get. So if you do not care to make that sizable investment and you cannot find a used one,
right,
then you can look into those. Although I would say buying something which increases the humidity of your apartment, which I would imagine something that works by melting ice would do, might be questionable.
Yeah.
You may end up with some green clothes.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, speaking about fungus, I think I've finally got some athlete's foot beat.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks I've been suffering with some athlete's foot. I swear maybe I had it years and years ago, but I think I attribute it to I was kind of wearing some slightly damp socks, you know, like, you know how things...
You gotta change your socks.
Things... Well, no, I change my socks, but you know...
Well, no, I mean, as soon as they get wet, you need to change them.
Yeah, well, you know, because you pull things out of the washer, and then sometimes they don't fully dry here, you know.
Yeah.
So there's no dryers here, and so I'm like, oh, you know, just
body heat.
Body heat will dry them out, but yeah.
Not if you put on shoes.
Yeah, that proved to be kind of a mistake, actually.
Yeah.
So I've been... suffering this athlete's foot. And
see, that's when you got to put the crazy foreigner to use. Go into the pharmacy, pull off your sock, show them your funky foot, and say, medicine.
Well,
Chiseo.
Well, no, that's when I use the internet, and then I've been reading about the what you can do. So,
like,
you know,
holistic cures?
No, none of that crap. But well, maybe close to it. I don't know. But, you know, it's like soak your feet in bleach.
And,
yeah, well, not pure bleach, but Rax, they call it. Bleach is called Rax here.
And I think it's good, like Clorox.
Yeah, Clorox, yeah. So bleach. Yeah, so I was soaking my feet in bleach, and then, let's see, you know, washing with some alcohol and, antibacterial soap, and then you know, baby powder, and then get some sort of spray on antiperspirant, and you know.
Wouldn't it be easier just to go get a fungicide from the pharmacist?
Yeah, but then I gotta go there.
Okay, see. Okay.
I gotta talk to them.
No, I just gotta show them your funky foot. Crazy foreigner.
Oh.
Embrace it.
Yeah. All right, so maybe if you bring some antifungal stuff too if you're coming.
Yeah.
If you suffer from athlete's foot.
Yeah, bring any over-the-counter stuff you think you might need. That's just a good general piece of advice because they don't really have over-the-counter stuff here. You have to go to the pharmacist.
Yeah.
In fact, when I first came to Korea, you had to go to the pharmacist to get tampons.
Jeez.
And they were behind the counter. You had to actually ask for them.
Probably condoms too for a long time.
Yeah, condoms too. Definitely now you can buy them at the checkout at the grocery store.
Yeah, and
which I always think is really funny.
I think there are a lot of the Japanese imported.
Yeah, yeah, because they're all like the freaky ones, you know, that normally you don't see on the racks in America.
Yeah, we'll have to do that for another for a future English T-shirt find.
Yeah,
weird,
the craziest condoms.
Yeah, but. Yeah, the pharmacies, I guess, were like, the government is getting pretty close to letting, you know, grocery stores and, you know, discount stores, like, you know, Lotte Mart, etc., sell normal over-the-counter meds, like aspirin and cold remedies, like they do in the West. Yeah,
like normal
But then the pharmacy association was just they were just chomping at the bit about that.
Oh, yeah, well, they went crazy when they stopped, you know, making Valium non-prescription.
They lost the pharmacists for a while had the ability to actually prescribe medication.
Yeah,
and so they got that.
And Korea
taken
was
away.
Good.
Yeah, they got that taken away, and so that was a huge loss of business for them. And, you know, now Lotte Mart might start selling aspirin.
No. Wait, we won't be able to sell a pack of 10 aspirin for $5 anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just bring a big gross of ASA or whatever.
Just go to like Walmart and get a bottle of 500 aspirin or whatever.
Yeah, and so then the kind of the sort of end run that now they're promising we're gonna stay open 24 hours. Many pharmacies are gonna be staying open 24 hours, the sort of more convenient hours and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, that'll be great. How many pharmacists are like one-man shows?
Yeah, I know.
Like 24-hour ops will really be meaningful for them.
I know, which just sort of, I guess there's a lot of pharmacists could be going, so I can no longer, I'm not going to be working 18-hour days now, I'll be working all around the clock, so I should just sell my apartment and put in a cot and, you know, yay, life is only getting better and better. Anything big coming up with Cotisol?
I believe the date is June 19th, but it is the third Saturday in June. The topic will be getting shy Korean students to talk.
Oh, yes, right.
And the speaker is a great speaker. I've seen her several times before. She's very popular.
Okay.
And you can look at the website, www.cotisol.org. And you can find more information about that and a map by looking up the Seoul chapter.
So it's Kotex without the X, and then the name of our son, soul.org. That's the website. I remember the website.
What?
That's how you remember the website, Cotisol.
Or you could just write it down.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, I'm just saying. But if we give them a couple pictures. Kotex tampons without the X. And the name of our son.
Maybe that's not like the mental combination I really want to create.
Whatever it takes. All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.